Next on the mall, though, Clayton Margaridge does a well-read read on hope and on ideas of utopia.
The demonstrations that occurred over the weekend and will go on occurring in response to the Trump regime are all about resistance. But a real resistance movement has to have an aim beyond and larger than just defending what we already have. If John Berger is right, then there is an aim already implicitly expressed by mass demonstrations. In the essay Norm Diamond presented on the Old Mole last week, Berger argued that a mass demonstration does not really aim to change what the rulers mean to do by appealing to their conscience. If they, the Trump gang in our case, had a conscience, the demonstration would not be necessary. And if the rulers do not have a conscience, they're not going to be intimidated by a bunch of unarmed people in the streets. A demonstration is really for the demonstrators, who, whether they know it or not, are rehearsing, preparing themselves for revolution. But what is the aim of the revolution? What do we want besides the negation of what already is? 2 weeks ago on this show, I tried to sketch a vision of a better society built around the question, how would we live if money did not exist? This was meant as an invitation to what might be called the utopian imagination. In defense of utopian thinking, I want to read from Ruth Pott's essay in Red Pepper, titled Utopia, the Right to Dream. She begins with a quote from John Berger. The first step toward building an alternative world has to be a refusal of the world picture implanted in our minds. In the culture of globalization, as in hell, there is no glimpse of an elsewhere or an otherwise. The given is a prison. So as John Berger reminds us, the first step towards an alternative world is refusing to accept that what we have is the best we can do. Utopians have been dismissed as foolish and naive dreamers, but they are central to human flourishing. The belief that the world could be fairer and life better spurs us on and creates the space in which change is possible. In the modern world, a restrictive notion of progress has muffled our imagination with harmful consequences for all of us. Utopian dreams are a catalyst for the oppressed and the marginalized. They remind us that other worlds are possible and give us the hope which, in the words of the author and activist Rebecca Solnit, makes action possible. Utopia is immediate and polemical, a prompt to dream and to act. It affects immediate changes in the real world now. Recent thinking in anthropology suggests that it was the development of our imaginations, and then consequently our ability to construct social structures and institutions, that allowed complex societies to evolve. Large societies and the glue that holds them together are all made up. Nations, tribes, religion, money, and the law-enforcing powers of a judge are arbitrary products of our collective creative thought. There are times when the arbitrariness of those systems becomes apparent. Perhaps we are now developing an awareness of the imaginary nature of the institutions we live in. Thomas More's Utopia, first published 500 years ago this December, provides a timely reminder of the enduring power of imagination and its ability to shape the world we live in. More's Utopia followed a well-known trope. The traveler who recounts their experience of a land in which a range of problems have been solved. It's a format that exists or has existed in every culture in some form. What More did was not new, but by naming his imaginary world, he gave the concept form, shape, and an irresistible ambiguity, meaning both no place and good place, the word utopia. And that has captured the human imagination ever since. Rereading Utopia today, what is striking is just how contemporary it feels. From concerns over access to land, to the corruption of an out-of-touch elite, and the unscrupulous behavior of kings in starting aggressive wars and dishonestly raising money, it is striking how the conspiracy of the wealthy endures. In Utopia, Moore attacks the irrational barbarity of capital punishment for theft. For the traveler who tells of life on the island of Utopia, the only way to reduce the number of thieves is to reduce the number of people who must steal or face starvation. By contrast, Moore offers an alternative vision of European society rooted in the humanist tradition. On the island of Utopia, there is no private property. Houses are allocated by lot, and people move home every 10 years. The doors of the houses swing open so that people may come and go as they please. Gardens are shared, meals are communal, and age is respected. The working day lasts just 6 hours, which is enough to provide for everyone's needs. Time after meals is spent reading or making music. There are public lectures every morning, and manual labor is valued. Society is equal, and gold and silver have no more respect than their intrinsic value deserves, which is obviously far less than that of iron, Utopia points out. Utopia has increased in popularity in times of great flux. Publications of Utopia increased around the time of the French Revolution and again at the turn of the 20th century. Alternative visions are really ways that we embarrass the present, making the familiar seem strange and revealing possibility. Because Utopia is located elsewhere, it could be argued that utopian visions are necessarily disempowering. The utopian world is always just beyond reach and unattainable. But what if that is its point? In the words of the Argentinian filmmaker Fernando Birri, Utopia is on the horizon. Every step I take towards her, she takes a step back, and the horizon runs 10 steps further away. So what purpose does Utopia serve then? Well, it serves the purpose of making us move forward. To take those steps toward Utopia, we also need to recognize and celebrate the fragments of Utopia that are all around us, the myriads of ways people are organizing together to create a better, more humane world. Utopia is the expression of the desire for a better way of being or living. It is a quest for wholeness, for being at home in the world. All this means that we can, and we must, be bolder in imagining how the world could be. There is rich territory for us to occupy with bigger, brighter, more confident vision. I've been reading Ruth Pott's article, Utopia, The Right to Dream, from the current issue of Red Pepper, which is devoted to the topic Utopia Now, Where to Find Hope. We'll link to it on the webpage for today's show. I'm Clayton Morgeridge for the Old Mole Variety Hour.